I consider myself to be a horrible regular at a coffee shop. And this is primarily because whenever I go to a coffee shop, I like to try something different. While I do enjoy my pour-overs and my drip coffees if I don't want to spend a lot of money, at the end of the day, I really am just trying different things whenever I go to a coffee shop. Especially if there's a lot of different specialty menu items. I like to shop around and see what I like. As a result, though, no one knows what I like to order, and it can be very difficult because I can't walk into a coffee shop and have a regular order where they'll be like, "Oh yes, Jackie wants X," because on any given day I might switch it up and ask for Y or Z or any other letter or possibility combination of drink. And so initially, I really was curious about what, my perfect drink would look like and how it would taste and so on and so forth. Until one day, I tried a drink that I really enjoyed. And at first, it sounded kind of gross and disgusting, but when I tried it, I realized, hey, this is actually really good. And that is an espresso tonic. Hello, and welcome to Jackie On, a podcast where I, Jackie, talk about my opinions on a bunch of different topics. This episode is Jackie On Espresso Tonics and Fizzy Espresso, and why it's a fantastic combination. So, just to get into it a little bit, I want to explain what fizzy espresso or even an espresso tonic is, why I enjoy them, and even go into a little bit of the science behind why they're probably one of the most finicky drinks in terms of creating and crafting that you'll find when using espresso. So, first of all, I just do want to mention that when I was studying abroad, I saw lots of different espresso tonics all over Ireland, which is where I was, and even in Amsterdam, which I also visited. However, in where I am in the United States, currently in Pennsylvania, I've gone to multiple coffee shops and not a single one has espresso tonics. So it may or may not be a regional thing or even something that is more prevalent depending on the location where you are or even the seasonality. So it might be more of a summer drink than anything. However, really, I wanted to start talking about the origins. So fizzy espresso is just an espresso tonic. And if that sounds like an interesting cocktail, it's because all it is espresso poured into tonic water, traditionally. It originated in 2007 in Oslo when a barista mixed espresso with tonic water together, and by the 2010s it grew hugely in popularity. And this is actually how a lot of these coffee espresso specialty drinks kind of came up, is kind of just through experimentation and figuring out what worked and what didn't work. So before I talk a little bit about some aspects of the espresso tonic that I find fascinating, I first want to talk about what even is tonic water. You've probably likely heard about it in like a gin and tonic or even tried tonic water on its own. I kind of grew up drinking tonic water for one reason or another. My dad was a big fan of making cocktails, and so oftentimes he would have tonic water. But even besides that, me and my brother really enjoy tonic water, which is basically just a mixture of water, sweetener, citric acid, and quinine sulfate and flavoring. And really, the only defining feature of tonic water that sets it apart from everything else is quinine. That's what gives it that unique taste profile, more of a bitter taste. Historically, quinine is a medicine that's been used to treat malaria. Of course, it was in much higher quantities, and the tonic water we have nowadays is watered down with a lot of sugar. However, it is very interesting to see how that's where it kind of gets that medicinal taste that's a little bit bitter, a little bit on edge, that makes it so it can pair well with other drinks. And as a result, a kind of a fun fact about quinine is that it's actually fluorescent under ultraviolet light. So if you shine ultraviolet light, it will glow. And that's just kind of one of the properties of quinine. I wish I knew more about quinine as a compound, but I don't think it necessarily matters in terms of making a good drink. It's just kind of a fun fact. So I want to now get into why you can have problems with your espresso tonics. And that is because espresso, in general, contains natural surfactants. Now, you might be thinking, what is a surfactant and why do I care? Another example of a surfactant is soap. So let's think about it this way. You have a dirty dish, right? And it has oil on it and you're trying to wash it to get it clean. But if you just pour water on it, the oil's not going to go away because oil and water don't mix. And the reason they don't mix is because oil is made up of very closely contained carbon chains. Essentially, these carbon chains like to bond to themselves. They kind of stick together. They're in their own little in-group. And they're very, very long carbon chains that don't really bond with anything else, because carbon is one of the more stable elements on the periodic table. And if you look at water, we all know H2O, and there's quite a strong bond there, which is called a hydrogen bond, which is hydrogen bonded to oxygen, fluorine, or nitrogen. And so water wants to go out and seek and make bonds. It has the potential to make bonds. However, the issue is, because oil does not want to, and oil just wants to stick to itself, it will not be washed away with the water because it won't be bonding to the water. So that's where surfactant comes into play. And a surfactant really is able to do a little bit of both. So a surfactant has two sides to it, one that is hydrophobic and one that is hydrophilic. Hydrophobic means it doesn't like water, right? It does repels water, which means it gets along really well with those long carbon chains on soap. So soap molecules will bind halfway to different oil molecules. So they're all bound up. And then when the water comes by, that hydrophilic end that really does like water on the soap will bond with the water. So the water will wash everything away because the soap acts as kind of a bridge. Espresso is the same way. It's a surfactant. It affects the surface tension. It has both hydrophobic and hydrophilic ends. And that helps kind of with trapping carbon dioxide within the crema, which is kind of like this more of like the white little silky bit at the top of an espresso shot. If you pull it, that top bit is called crema, and it's where espresso has trapped carbon dioxide. So the surfactants in espresso mostly are derived from lipids, proteins, and polysaccharides, so a lot of the general makeup. However, if we were to think about, okay, espresso crema, a little part of it traps carbon dioxide, what happens if you add a carbonated drink to that? Now, instead of there being a balance of things, there's so much carbonation that these drinks are able to contribute their own carbon dioxide and makes it bubble up and fizz over. So oftentimes you'll see that espresso tonics will, you will take your tonic water and you'll put your espresso in. If you go too fast, if you're not very careful, all of a sudden it's like one of those baking soda and vinegar experiments where it starts fizzing up all over the place, and by the time it settles, your drink quality actually goes down because all the carbon dioxide has spread and the taste is no longer going to be the same as it once was. So basically, vigorous stirring and agitation risks causing more carbon dioxide to get released and further creates foam, creating less smooth texture and taste, and will also help to dissipate the bubbles and the carbon dioxide carbonation faster, which is not that much of a good thing unless you really do like carbonation. However, stirring can also contribute to making the drink taste a little bit more bitter. Again, if you like bitterness in your coffee, maybe you want that, but I don't often recommend it. And that's why often more fruity and floral beans are used in espresso tonics, simply because tonic has more of like this fruity, floral, bitter, medicinal taste that kind of pairs well with these espressos that are more on like the lighter side than a typical espresso. So with that, what are some do's and don'ts when we make espresso tonics? Let's kind of go over what makes a good fizzy espresso in general. So again, you want to use tonic water as your base. You can totally add syrups and flavoring to customize it. Citrus is a really popular choice. You want to use plenty of ice, though. You want to keep everything chilled, everything cool. And I'll explain why in a little bit. Other than that, the basic recipe is one part espresso to three parts tonic water. So it is quite customizable. You can kind of play around with the ratio depending on your taste. What you don't want to do is use any fizzy drink that's lying around. So the reasoning for this is primarily because of the flavorings that exist and all the other added compounds. So what makes tonic water such a good choice to use for fizzy espresso is because of its taste profile. It's not neutral. I would not say it's neutral. As I already told you, it kind of pairs better with fruits and florals. However, it does have this very particular taste where it's not asserting its own flavor profile, right? You can add flavorings in, you can change the way it tastes, you can create a new taste with it, but it's not like a white monster, right? With that already has its own artificial flavorings added that has a very particular taste, and if you have the wrong type of espresso, will be very much in combat with that espresso to get those the flavor on top. And so the tonic water really marries the espresso, whereas some of these other fizzy drinks can be not as good. That doesn't mean you don't try them. In my coffee club in college, we have a fizzy espresso night, and this is part of where I got my information on, is because I gave the presentation on it, and we always encourage people to bring whatever fizzy drink they want, and we make it with espresso and just see how it is and taste it around. On that note, Fruit Punch Red Bull is really bad, so don't ever try it with espresso. But otherwise, it is kind of a fun thing just to see what happens. But I still think tonic water is the OG, is the best way to go, and is really tasty. So what you don't want to do also is you don't want to pour the espresso in too fast or before the tonic water. Again, don't mix it recklessly and don't use warm or room temperature ingredients. Now, the reason for all of this is something that I'm actually going to get into right now when I talk about three different ways that you can use to actually prepare an espresso tonic to avoid any of the problems that I just mentioned from possibly happening. So, first of all is the layering method. You want to a glass, you want to add ice and your tonic water. Now, I'm going to talk about the reason why you have tonic water first as opposed to espresso. So, espresso has a limited amount of carbon dioxide, right? It's the one trapping the carbon dioxide. It's all in the crema. And so what happens if we have espresso first and then tonic water is that we introduce so much carbon dioxide all at once that it inevitably will create foam. However, if you put the espresso in second, then especially if you're pouring it in slow, which is the recommended method, then it gives time for those bubbles to kind of subside and calm down, and thus it makes it a lot easier to pour it in. It also allows for more dissipation of heat, because if you just have the espresso in a cup and you pour cold tonic water in, you immediately have that heat difference that also creates a huge amount of bubbles and carbon dioxide, and typically things pair better together when they're more similar in temperature. So that is why in this layering method, you want to slowly pour your espresso shot over the glass onto a spoon. And so if you pour it onto a spoon, not only do you have more control, but it also allows some of the air to dissipate the heat and for it to flow really smoothly into your tonic water. The next method is the chilling method. And to a glass, again, you'll have ice and tonic water, and then you'd flash chill the espresso, put it in an ice bath or something like that. Other people say you can also just like let it cool down, but I don't recommend that because that will take away some of the flavor profile. And then after you have cooled it, you would pour it into the glass, and you don't have to worry about being slow or careful now because it's the same temperature, which means a lot of that, those forces that in opposition are more balanced. And the last one is crema removal, which I think is the funniest one ever, which is you add ice and tonic water to a glass, and then you can take a syringe or a spoon to suction out the espresso or use that spoon to remove the crema, and then you just pour it into the glass. Because if there's no crema, there's no carbon dioxide in the espresso, which means it just goes right into the tonic water without issue. I did get these three methods from Morgan Drinks Coffee on YouTube, or Morgan Eckerd. Really good channel for watching and learning about espresso tonics and how they function. And it was really interesting because she mentioned that this crema removal method is used at a coffee shop in Portland. And I just think it's really funny to think about someone taking a massive syringe to make an espresso tonic. Otherwise, though, again, I really want to stress that there's so much customization for an espresso tonic. They're well known for being highly customizable. I've had an apple one before. I have had orange one before. Citrus is very popular, so there's also been some lemon in there. And I just think overall it does bring about a really smooth tasting drink. And I kind of just enjoy it for the way that it plays with texture and taste in an unconventional way. And that is why I think it's one of my favorite drinks, and I really enjoyed being able to introduce it to Coffee Club and even spend a little bit of time here talking about why I think the espresso tonic is an underrated drink. And it's things like that that have some experimentation to it that I think are really unique and oftentimes missing in coffee dialogue and in the coffee world. And so it's fun to think about it and experiment with it, and I hope you learned a little bit about the espresso tonic. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Jackie On. I'll catch you in the next one.